From Cap Radio in Sacramento, this is Insight. I'm Beth Ruyak. New jobs numbers released this morning show 5.2 million more American workers filed for unemployment this week. That's now more than 22 million in the past 4 weeks. California, in these new numbers, in the advanced state claims, which are not seasonally adjusted, show just under 661,000 new claims in the last week. Governor Gavin Newsom said yesterday that 10% of California's workforce is undocumented.
Those are individuals that do not benefit from the PUA program, don't benefit from the UI, the unemployment insurance benefit program, don't benefit from the stimulus that was just signed by the president, the $2.2 trillion. Yet many in mixed status families are having a hard time taking care of their children and taking care of you and your loved ones in skilled nursing facilities, on the job site, making sure your food is being procured and distributed, and making sure you have the ability to go to a grocery store and have something stocked there on the shelves. We feel a deep sense of gratitude for people that are in fear of deportation, but are still addressing the essential needs of tens of millions of Californians. And that's why I'm proud as governor to be the first state to announce a program for direct disaster assistance to those individuals.
California is putting up $75 million with a philanthropy match of another $50 million, and this money is for undocumented individual and family assistance. We will post the link to that particular webpage. It is connected to the COVID-19.ca.gov page. Right now, it looks like it's just an overall guide. It doesn't yet have specific information for how to apply for benefits, but this webpage has been evolving quickly with more information just in the last 24 hours. So again, to look for it, if you want to right now, you would start with COVID-19.ca.gov. And by the way, Nevada showed more than 60,000 initial additional unemployment benefit claims in the last week. So the governors from all the states are going to be part of a video conference today with President Trump. The president intends to share guidelines for reopening the states, but you probably know that a plan by California, Oregon, and Washington, agreed to by the governors, was mapped out and announced on Tuesday. So you can find news coverage about it at capradio.org. And Governor Newsom holds another live daily briefing today at noon. Cap Radio will bring it to you. So let's start the conversations in this hour now. And we're going to be joined by the director of nursing at Mountain Valley's Health Centers. She is Susan Nock. She's a registered nurse, and she's joining us from Fall River Mills. Hi, Susan. Glad to have you on the program.
Hi, thank you for having me.
So your centers are taking care of people in the northernmost area of the state. How is COVID-19's impact being felt in what's predominantly a rural area?
Yes. So we're seeing quite a large decline in our visits, just because mostly after the shelter in place happened, and so we're doing everything we can to still meet our patient needs. So we've implemented a video visit platform. So we're doing, you know, virtual visits with our medical and behavioral health providers. We are doing telephonic visits for people who have connectivity issues. But even saying all that, we're still seeing quite the decline in our visit numbers.
So is the decline because people can't get to the centers, or do you think you're seeing a decline in the infection rate? I want to be really careful and clear about this.
So I think we're seeing a decline because, you know, we focus a lot on preventative care, so keeping people well versus, you know, treating them when they're sick. So the essential visits, what we call them, are, you know, if you have something urgent going on, but for preventative care things like your annual physical, if you need to get a vaccine, that kind of stuff is being postponed just because people aren't coming out and wanting to be exposed, you know, rightfully so.
Let's say more, Susan, about where your centers are specifically. We're talking about, I think, the Mount Shasta, Burney area. Tell me some of the other locations. And are these all clinics or some hospitals?
So we have seven primary care health centers and one separate dental site. And two of our medical centers have dental as well. So we have Weed, California, which is right next to Mount Shasta, Burney, Fall River Mills, which is where I live, Big Valley, Doris, and Tule Lake, which are like 20 minutes from the Oregon border.
California now has more than 27,000 confirmed COVID-19 cases. That's on the NCOV 2019 site. How many positive cases have you had, and I understand if you don't have the specific, but an estimate of numbers in your area?
So we, knock on wood, we have not, we've done not a ton of tests, probably 20 or so, and we have not had any positives come back. However, we have had some positives from our surrounding areas. So I would say our immediate areas in which our clinics are located, I know of two positive cases.
And tell me about the testing. With only 20 tests, is that due to a shortage of supplies?
Yes. And so we're following the CDC tier testing guidelines. So we're being, you know, pretty... we're being choosy on who we test based on what the CDC recommendations are. So we're, you know, if you're younger and well without chronic medical conditions and we suspect that you may have COVID, we are recommending the 14-day quarantine versus the COVID test just because supplies and PPE are very limited.
If I pull back from numbers and statistics, what do you think the impact is there, Susan, in terms of life and fear and the need to stay apart or well and the concern about the isolation? I'd just like you to tell me the story in the way you're seeing it of what's happening.
Sure. I think, Amy, it's scary. we have, you know, most of our areas have a quite large retired population. So we do have a fair amount of elderly people, which I do think are all of our communities are doing really well at following the shelter in place guidelines. I myself am working from home and I don't love it. I miss the, you know, social part of working, and my kids haven't seen their grandparents for quite a long time because my dad has chronic illness. So I think we're all feeling just kind of distant and not connected. So yeah, it's a struggle.
Tell me about the nursing staff. How is staffing? How are healthcare workers managing? What are some of the challenges?
Sure. So I think that one of the biggest challenges is, so I used to be the director of nursing. I'm now the chief operations officer, but all the same. It's so Shannon, our CEO, is also a RN. So we are, you know, we're not on the front lines of patient care, so to say, but we are spending, I would say, at least 85% of our time staying on top of everything COVID. So there's so many updates and recommendations, and, you know, our clinics are located in three different counties. So we're trying to stay as educated as we can so we can, you know, trickle that information down to our nursing staff. So they are working with the most updated current recommendations. So I think that's one, one thing that's pretty difficult right now. And I think the second major concern is, you know, for the nursing staff that's working in the front lines is just the risk of being exposed to COVID. Most of our staff have loved ones that have chronic medical conditions or, you or are older themselves or have older parents, relatives, young children. I know kids tend to, they seem to handle it pretty well, but it's pretty unnerving, you know, the thought of being exposed and then bringing the virus home to somebody that would not fare well if they were to contact COVID.
I'm talking with Susan Nock. She is a registered nurse. She's joining us from Fall River Mills, and we are talking about Mountain Valley's Health Centers, which she is the Chief Operations Officer and Director for. So in your rural area, distance and transportation, I think, have always been an issue, but are you discovering with telemedicine and video visits a new and different method of delivering care or checking in that might continue after the pandemic has settled?
Sure. So we're very hopeful that we can continue that. So previous to this pandemic, you know, it's always something that we wanted to utilize. However, the, you know, insurance reimbursement was not there for us. So it wasn't, you know, financially an option for us to do. But now it is, just during this COVID crisis. And it would just really be, it would open so many doors for us, would, you know, make travel not an issue for patients. And, so we're hopeful it will continue the reimbursement, and we think that it would improve our patients' health care tremendously. The thing we found that is kind of an issue is connectivity up in these rural areas is not, you know, what it is in the more urban areas like Sacramento. So a lot of us don't have super fast internet or internet at all. So that has been a challenge for utilizing the video visit platform.
When the governor makes his announcements, these daily press conferences at noon in Sacramento, or you hear an announcement on the federal level by the president, being in the northern part of the state, in this rural area, do you feel connected in a way that you think, oh, that relief package or that new testing platform or surge in supplies, that's going to help us. We're going to get swabs or we're going to get masks. Do you feel a sense of connection right now?
Maybe yes and no. I think that we have really felt our ruralness in this. So I don't know if we've been able to get any PPE masks or gowns or anything from our suppliers. Our public health departments have really been a savior in that. So if we order, you know, it says product allocation, and we're not high on the list. It's pretty evident. And I know testing supplies, we did get some at the beginning, but we haven't gotten anything else since. So, and we've heard, you know, from our lab company that their instruction is to send the testing supplies to the larger areas, not the more rural areas. So it's kind of hard.
Do you have an estimate of how many people you've told perhaps just to self-quarantine that there hasn't been a test for, or you've decided not to test? And I mean you,
sure,
in the collective system.
Sure. So we have a tracking system that we're utilizing. So I would say we've got probably 15 to 20 people that across our 7 sites.
Who right now or have been self-quarantined with symptoms.
Correct.
But not tested.
Correct.
Yeah. Well, that antibody test, if and when we get it, will tell an interesting part of the story, won't it?
Yeah. Yep. It definitely will.
Susan, thanks for giving us more of a look at what you're dealing with. I feel like we should check back with you in a couple weeks and see what's
sure.
evolved over this. And I appreciate your time. Everybody stay safe, and thanks for connecting with us today, too.
Yeah. Yes, thanks for including me.
That's Susan Nock. She is a registered nurse and chief operations officer at Mountain Valley's Health Centers. Up next, another conversation. We're going to talk to Lyle Jones, director of the Crocker Art Museum. You're listening to Insight on your NPR station, CAP Radio.